we are all children of light. I was wondering how should I address you, because I see you in me and I in you. So I think the best way I can address you as my friend. I have not made you slaves, but as equals. Because an equal man can only recognize what he is. Those under him, they cannot know from that status. So you are all my friends. So I have love and regard for you. Ever since I came in contact with you physically in 1955, I have been carrying your sweet remembrance all along with me. Now physically I was in India. During the day I was very much burdened with the work over there, but at night I was all along with you, replying your letters till 12, 1 sometime. So during the day I was there, at night I was with you. This is the other part of the world. When there is night there, there is day here. So I was all along working during the day there and here, you see. So I have been appreciating your loving thoughts that you have been sending to me from time to time. Your anxiety to have me here, I wanted to be here, but on account of accidents of the service, I was just tied down over there. But you know, stone walls do not make a prison house, nor iron bars a cage. Though physically I was bound there, but in my mind and spirit, you are all along with me. That I can assure you, even hereafter, the God in me will be with you, guiding you, helping you in all your affairs. And it is through the grace of my Master that this is being extended to you in the past and will continue hereafter too. Ever since I have come here, I have been feeling quite at home. Never thought of my home, I forgot India. Because of the love that radiated all around me, I was there among my friends and here also among my friends. Of course, during the day I was here, but at night I was attending in India. All the same as I did in India. Well, you are all dear to me, whether in the East or the West, that makes no difference to me. Outer forms make no difference. I see you from the level of the man body, or at the level of the embodied souls. You are children of light. This present tour has been taken just in extension of what my Master wanted of me. He impressed on me to have a common ground for all, irrespective whether they belong to one religion or the other. They are all the same man. for the embodied souls. So you want India to have a common ground for all, where men belonging to all religions, East and West, could sit together on the same earth and under the same canopy of heaven. So with His grace, this present renovation, you might say, a revival of the old truths that all rishis and masters who came in the past, they gave out. In Vedas, Atharva Veda and Rig Veda, it is said, well, thousands of you all sit together, pray to God. As I told you, that we have joined various religions, they are our schools of thought, and we have joined to know God. These religions are our recruiting centers from where we had to join the army of God. We had to become the true Khalsas in this terminology of this 10th Guru. Zoroaster asked, and he also gave it the same view. Then he asked him, well, we have to join the army of God, what is required for that? What qualification should be there? He never mentioned any one religion or the other. You see, masters always look to all mankind from the level of man body, universal. They consider all humanity as their family. Guru Nanak, when he left his heart and home just to carry this message to all the world over, he had one son, I have two sons and wife. The worldly people came up to him, well, what are you doing? Why are you leaving your family? He said, well, look here, whole mankind is my family. This is the level from which all masters who came in the past, they gave out, they laid before us to come up to that level. But unfortunately, the schools of thought which are called religions, in which we joined, whose outer forms we took up as badges, they were means to the end to free our souls and unite with God. They were meant for our freedom, but those very have become the chains and fetters to bind us. That was never the purpose of joining any school or religion. So what is required? People ask Esther, for joining the army of God. He said, righteousness. And what is righteousness? Good thoughts, good words and good deeds. This is all other masters said. Guru Arjan said the same thing. Truth is above all, and true living is still our truth. So while you are here on this common ground, you forget your outer levels of living. So this is the first quality, when you come to some master, you lose all otherness. You see all mankind as one. You see the same soul in everybody, which is the drop of the ocean of all consciousness. We are all children of light. So naturally, what is before us is to love God. We love God, and that very God resides in every heart. The very souls which are of the same essence as that of God, well, naturally we love all. But to love all is the main thing, because God is love. God is light. We are also children of light. God is life, and we are all conscious beings. God is love, and God, we are also love. So the way back to God is also love. This is the main lesson that we have learned at the feet of the Masters, that prepares the way to God. All our outer rituals, rites, saying prayers, reading of scriptures are meant to develop that love and devotion for us, in us. Blessed is the society or the school of thought to which you belong, in which you develop this very precious jewel of love. So what is required, as I told you, it is righteousness. And righteousness means good thoughts, good words, and good deeds. And further, it enjoins on us naturally to live a life of continence. Control over our senses. There are so many senses which are dragging us to the outgoing faculties, to all the world over. You like to control one passion, you must have control all outgoing faculties. If you control one organ of sense and let others let loose, the result will be, it is just like putting hands into the fire and seeing that it should not burn. So this is what is required. You see, control over senses. So the senses work the attention, which is the outcome of our souls, expression of our souls, which is diffused into the world through the senses, sense organ. We know now how to know God. Simple ways. God cannot be known by the outgoing faculties, intellect, or white layers. It is soul alone that can know God. Like alone can know the like. So the outward expression of soul is attention, which is diffused into the outside world. That is to be collected, you might say. Bring it back, those rays of attention, back to the source, our soul, which is at the back of the eye. That's the first thing to be done. You are not to touch the pranas, or not have recourse to any physical exercises, not to have intellectual wrestling, to come to some conclusion, because you see, it is this attention, which is the expression of soul, which gives life to the intellect, to the mind. to the outgoing faculties. I think you might have experienced someday when you sit very absorbed condition, you go in the transport. Your intellect does not work, your outgoing faculties do not work. So the way of the masters is pure, withdrawing of the attention from outside, enters this laboratory of man-body, leave these organs of sense, just retrace all rays of the attention back to its source, the soul at the back of the eyes. When you come there, you find God already there. This is natural way, this is called the Sut Yoga. Or you might call it as the part divine. That is the easiest. Even the children see light. Little attention for withdrawal is given. So this is the natural way which all masters gave to the children, to the old, to the learned, to the unlearned. So when they gave what they said, I gave you a very brief, in a few words, in my message too, what it comes that is given out, of course, but that says, love is the way back to God. In the message you'll find, God is love and our souls are also love, and it is through love alone we can know God. Love knows true renunciation, service and sacrifice. For whom? Not for the self, but for the good of others without any consideration. So love is the way back to God, all masters say. Read any scripture. And there we are wanting. We are very intellectuals. We are very wise in all other affairs. But we are wanting in love. Love is not grown in any fields. Cannot be bought but any, I mean, shops. It is already within you. Ingrained within you. It is innate. Simply that love has been misfit. That misfit love takes us where? To the body, to the enjoyments of the senses, to the attachments of the outside worlds. The result is where we go, where we are attached. So this love which is misdirected, you see, is called love. But if you just look to its reality, you'll find it is God in itself. When it is just withdrawn from outside, because God is love and our soul is love, we come in there, we come in contact with all love. So this is what is required. Christ said, those who do not understand love cannot understand God. Those who do not know love cannot know God. 10th Guru of the Sikhs also gave us the same thing. Hear ye all, who, irrespective whether you belong to East or West, to one country or the other, or one religion or the other, I tell you the truth. all this had only true love. But we have not understood the true meaning of love. We take it to be the enjoyments of the senses with the body and outside things. That is not true love. So mind that love is a gift from God to man. Love seeks union with the beloved. First there is yearning, there is pining. You want to see him, to be near him. But what is love? What is the result of that? When love is there, whatever, for whom, you are always constantly in sweet remembrance of him. That's the outer token of love. So first you like to be near him, then you like not to disobey any order he gives. If you love me, keep my commandments, as Christ said. He said, I give you a new commandment, love one another. We say we love God, but we do not love one another. Why? We do love all masters, say, love God, love thy neighbor in all creation. We love God, we do not love our brothers. What does Christ say? You are a liar. You see? Whom you see, you do not love. How can you love God whom you do not see? So love ultimately, after journeying, wants to be near him, first to obey him, then obedience will result in surrender, and like that. So obedience seeks the pleasure of the beloved. Why you want to be obedient? You want to seek the pleasure of the beloved, whom you love. One who loves is a lover of the beloved. And one who obeys is the beloved of the beloved. If you love your master loves you. Those are more obedient to love him and never transcend his any injunctions, well, they become the most beloved. Ramakrishna was seen sometimes weeping for Swami Vivekananda when he did that fight. It was the grace of my master. I used to go to him twice a week and sometimes weekly. The best I could, the maximum I could. And sometimes it was so happened I could not go. And he would send me to go find him. Why I did not come? Sometimes it so happened he took the car and reached Lahore. That is about 40 miles. And then stood under the office and sent a man up. And I found him down. If you love the Master, Master loves you most. You become the beloved of the beloved. We have not ever thought of the value of love. We say we are lovers of the Master, then why there are so many discord and disunion? When two women love the same thing, there should be competition of the like I mentioned last night. A man puts in 7 hours, 6 hours you put in 7 hours. If one man serves selflessly, you do service more than that. If one man puts in one shoulder, you put in your two shoulders to reveal. This really means what is love. So for love, I say, One who loves is a lover of the beloved, and one who obeys this is becomes the beloved of the beloved. Who is greater? And that love should also be with a respectful mood, lips. For I wrote to my master letters which I said I crave not be love, your love, but that love should be within respectful mood, limits. Sometimes out of love we transcend the limits. Sometimes we want to overrule the whom we love, you see. That's not the way of the true love. He received the letter, put it on his breast. He says, I want such a one who loves within respectful mood. So you will find one who surrenders all has no existence other than the beloved. The surrender is even above obedience. Obedience sometimes you do willingly, you see. But surrender means giving up everything for the beloved. You have got nothing else except the beloved. So greater than love is obedience. By that, greater than love is obedience. And all these can be summed up in love divine. This is perhaps the only lesson or the injection or the counsel I can give to make you successful in all ways of life, especially your spiritual life. Because whom you love, you abide in him. Christ said, let my words abide in you and you abide in me. How can you abide in him? First is obedience. Second is surrender. Whom you love as you think, so you become. Fifth guru of the sixth tells us that the disciples remembers the master. And what does the master do? Whom does he remember? The 11 souls. Never think for instance that the God and the Master forgets you. And just at the commencement of place before you, when I was there, I was with you here at night. When I am here, I am at night there. There sunrise is, I am there. Here sunrise, I am here. That is God in me, not the Son of Man. So Godhood is the birthright of every man. Fortunately, we have got that. That's the grace of God. And further grace of God has descended that we have some desire, some yearning for God. For that we have cared to guide any school of thought or religion to achieve him, to find him. So it is possible through love alone to become God, I would say. Lover and the beloved both are become one. You know what St. Paul said? I and my Father, Christ said, I and my Father are one. And St. Paul said, it is I, not now I, but it is Christ that lives in me. This is what is meant by the word Guru Mukh. Master is a God in man. And such a lover of the Master becomes Guru Mukh, becomes the Guru, God man and man, you see. This is the ultimate feat of love. And this is the easiest way. I remember now, by the way it has struck me, Lord Rama, he went on exile for 14 years. He went to the wilderness where so many other yogis were living, and there was one lady who was a very low caste. He heard about it that Lord Rama is coming to the wilderness on exile. What did she do? She simply cleared the way, because Rama will be coming, he may be barefooted, thorns may not reach his feet. She continued clearing the way of all thorns. And then she thought, in the heart of her thought, when he comes, what should I offer him? And in the wilderness and the water there are no food to eat, but there are berries everywhere. He used to pluck berries, taste it, which were sweet, he kept in his pocket, in his bag. So all those tasted berries he kept in some prayer. And those yogis who were living in those places, they thought, perhaps each one thought that he was the greatest of the yogis, Lord Rama will be coming to his cottage. Yet mind that, this I-hood, I know better, I am the better of all this, the last weakness which lives in even the so-called master. But where did Rama go, you know? He went there, he met that villain, you know. And what did he do? He offered those berries with your taste. He ate them. Love knows no law. Love is above all. So, and those yogis living over there were doing penances for hundreds of years. Then he went over there, you see. They came up to him, "Will you kindly grace our cottage with you?" And he went over there. What they said, there was a pond of water over there. There's some small insects full of. There's no other way of having water there. And they asked Lord Rama to just clean that pond by his grace, just to put his feet into the water so that all dust or dirt, whatever it is, all insects may be removed. He said, "No, why, you are the greatest of the yogis, why don't you put in your feet there? It's better you put your feet, those must be better, clear now." And they did. But it remained the same thing. Then they forced him, "You kindly put your feet into the water and all insects will go." He says, "All right, it is up to you." He did also put his feet into the pond. But even still, the insects were there. So Lord Rama had to just demonstrate the greatness of love. True love doesn't know any show, mind that. He also, "I think it would be better if you call that Billy, you see. Let her put her feet into the water." When she came, you put her feet in the water and this pond was clear. So these are the instances to show that love is a great miracle. Oh, God is love. Unless you know that. So if you love, to love only you become one with God. Whom you love, you can become one with God. As you think, so you become. But we have not seen God. How can we love Him? We can only love one whom we have seen, who is at the same level where we are working. So, the Mohammedan scriptures tell us each man must have some beloved. What sort of beloved? Not that one leaves you, but who is ever with you, who does not leave you in this life and in life hereafter. And who can be he? Well, the God in him. So Christ gave out, you see, gave my example to show that so long as branches are embedded in the fruit-growing tree, they give fruit. But when they are cut off, they cannot give fruit. Then he says, I am the vines, thou art the branches. So long as you remain embedded in me, you will bear fruit, ample fruit. See? So this is what was meant by love. This half is a great saint tells us, O God, my name is there, people call me Hafiz, but I am no more Hafiz. I am he who lives in me. So when God becomes man and his love for his beings, that man who has become one with God, that God becomes man. God in man and man in God. This is word I have given in my this message too. And who was he? My master, my son. He was man in God. To love the master and to love God. The God in him, not the son of man. So mind that there is no sadhana greater than love. All performance, outer rites and rituals, saying prayers, they are only meant for love. If you dwell love, it's everything there. So there is no law higher than love. And there's no goal beyond love. Because love is God and God is love. For that, you see, God and love are identical. For who has divine love has reached God. He is one with you. So that is why I gave out here, you see, this is a religion. Above all religions, you see what the Master had in life, taught, they gave out the very love. So no amount of intellect can fathom God. No amount of austerity can enable you to attain God. Only whom, when one loves him and loses oneself in him, can find him. And it is only the feet of the love in which you can lose yourself, where the two become one. And there is no other means, no other way back to God except through love. The question was put to John. What is the remedy for all our ills? He said, love and all things can be added into you. And the Mohammedan saints tell us, well, who has got no love, he is a dead body. Love in man only revives the man. You see, when you are in loving mood, your face flushes, isn't it? When you are wanting now, you sad, pensive, long face you have got. In the outer ways you find this thing, even that very low love. It's just, you see, overflows your soul, then so we go to your master because he is overflowing in love. When you go near him, your love is flared up. The love which starts in flesh and ends in flesh, that is no love. That is passion. This love that starts from flesh and dissolves in the soul, that is true love. That makes two into one. So love burns the lover. And devotion burns the beloved. He has to take care of everything of you when you are devoted. So love seeks happiness for the beloved, not for the self-minded man. We sometimes love in a business way. Love knows giving. So devotion seeks blessings from the beloved. His quiet look is all he wants, nothing more. He is not showy. Well, you see, he sees the heart in you. That power is residing in you, which is just working at that human pole. He sees all hearts. Hearts are there with you. So love seeks to shoulder the burden of the beloved. Whatever beloved has taken up, he wants to shoulder that, help in that. And what we do, we show little, show more, and do little. Devotion throws the burden on the beloved. When I told you once, my son was dangerous, he said, the doctor advised him, pass away in a day or two, he takes to teeth and teeth, and by him, any moment he may pass away. It so happened within those 3 days, there was a day on which I had to go to attend to some satsang, at about 27 or 28 miles away. I thought, well, doctor said he will die. What should I do now? I said, all right, life and death is not my in hands, that is the hand of the master. I left him with it. When I read this, the satsang was over, and it became with about 11. Then the master lived, I was nearer to that place, about 20 miles. He let me have it. So I went there, I read it about 2. During the day. Master was upstairs, he sent men at once. Call him up. I went. He was lying in his bed. I bolted down, sat down. He sat up in his bed. How is your son? Then I had to tell him he was taken such and such article. And he was very sad and concerned. I told him, Master, who even thinks of you, they become jolly. What has made you? Oh, because you have thrown your burden on me. You see, the masters are very hard, you see. So love is, devotion seeks blessing from the beloved, but love seeks to shoulder the burden of the beloved, and devotion throws the burden of the beloved. So love gives. Love does not require the presence of the beloved. Mind that. In order to love. One who loves, he loves. He is never alone. A lover is never alone. Mind that. He may be in the wilderness. He is a sweet love for the Lord. He resides in him. The beloved resides in him. They are one with the, they are near or far. So devotion asks, and love is silent. And sublime, devoid of outward expression. So such is the ideal of love, you see. What Master always referred to, love, love, love and love. Love is a great blessing. So devotion expresses itself in outward things. But devotion demands the presence of the beloved to express affection to the beloved. So what is greater than love and surrender? So this is the message that has been given all along by all masters whenever they came. I am giving you no new thing on this birthday, what you are going to celebrate, my true celebration of the birthday will lie in the fact if you live, have love. Have a life of love. Love and all things shall be added. To my mind, I don't feel joy at the day I was born, you see. I will feel joy only the purpose for which I meant, that is complete. Then I feel joy. I quite appreciate that you have expressed all your love, devotion or surrender, that you may decide between in your own heart. So I want you to love, you see, that will give you physical health, moral health and spiritual health. That's the only way back to God. So physically, you see, sometimes it's not possible to be everywhere. But the God in man, God in him, is everywhere, that can materialize everywhere. When you rise above body consciousness here, there also you can contact and talk face to face. By God's grace, working through my Master, you are all of you having something to commence with, to start with, the very first day. Truly speaking, you are all on probation, but such not such a probation for which you can be discharged. In the outer world, any service on probation is subject to discharge too, because the work is not satisfactory. But it is such a probation in which you cannot be discharged, you see. But truly you become a follower when you meet the Master within and talk to him face to face. He is ever with you and you are ever with him. So I wish you all to progress on the way, be regular in your practices, lead a life of love. Love does not dream of even harming anybody. If you want to know God, if you do not love the God in the man, then how can you harm those where God resides? How can you expect to know God? So this is what is wanted. As I told you, love is the innate quality of the soul, you see. Love knows no duality, oneness. So I think that is why they said God is love. Love is God. So I wish you to progress spiritually, physically. I have not been here for so many years, of course. But as I told you, I was with you all in all in thoughts. You know, with God's grace and with the grace of my Master through whom he works, you remain in my mind. So long he wishes me to continue in the physical body. So this day, when you say birthday, physical birthday, I think the best way out, just celebrating the birthday, they want to watch the Master. That's all. And I don't want anything from you except love. You will be true non-violent. You will be truly truth-speaking, truly truthfulness. You will become truly chaste because your love goes into the soul, not remains in the body. And you will have love for all. Love knows service and sacrifice. Love knows service and sacrifice. But you will be knowing give, give and give. No compensation. If need be, you have to sacrifice yourself for the good of the others. If love knows always the betterment and the good of the others, not one's own mind, that he has to sacrifice this, everything for the sake of others. If he but learn this very lesson, I think there will be peace in the world, peace all around. The kingdom of God will come on earth. Master sometimes teach by parables, sometimes by direct talks. I give you something now, very direct, in few words, digest of that. Now I give you a parable I've given in the Puranas of the Hindus. Then the God of nourishment invited all the good and the bad men. Because you see, God provides everybody, whether it is bad men or good men. He lay down, you see, very rich banquet hall. It was ready and the food was served. And they were made to sit in their own rows, good one side, bad other side. Then he rose up and said, well, look here, all this what is ready and served, it is for you. Eat it to your heart's contents. See that. But one condition is there, mind that. Don't bend your arms to bring the food to your mouth. Those who are of less interest, bad people, you see, they always consider from their own level. They can say, if you don't bring up arms, how can you bring the food in our mouth? They consider they could not let you find any way out. They consider, well, look here, well, the Lord has ridiculed us, you see. He doesn't want us weak. You see, everybody throws blame on the one, though he does not understand properly. They left this place. They are good men there with some concentration, they thought, well, it is God who is telling you, see? Not an ordinary man. There must be some truth in it. Take lesson from this. If Master tells you something, he is God and he is not average man, you see. He said there must be some truth in it. We'll decide from our own levels and begin to blame the Master to the God in him. There must be some truth in it. Let us consider calmly. It stuck, no, it's very easy. Here's the food. I put in your mouth, you put in my mouth. So all are fed. These are parables. If we look for the good of others, everybody will at ease. If we care to feed others, all will be fed. If we care to clothe others, all will be clothed. So this is what we have to learn. Love knows that. Love knows giving, service and sacrifice with no compensation. Well, this day, that's all the best of all. I think what I've come to know is love. You must become conscious of yourself. God is life and consciousness. That consciousness now just enveloped by matter. You are not matter. You are sparks of light, be one with the great conflagration of life. And I think in few words I can go only give you this. To the best I came to know by parallel study of religions and by sitting at the feet of my master. He endowed for all. Sometimes it so happened in his life. You see, some people rake up so many things, you see, they found a platform against him. Just talks were given here, and they had another platform. They are quite sadly here and like close by. He never uttered anything. He said, dare you to say so many things, good or bad, anything like it. And poor fellow, no arrangement for their food. Because they had to come from here and give that propaganda against the master. So they had to arrange for food bringing outside. When they have given their all talks against him, he came round and said, brothers, hear me. You are here all alone, our kitchen is always ready, you have your food here. You have your food here. And do propaganda against me. This is what is meant, love your enemies, you see. Without any consideration the word I have given in the message. Practical experience. He lived it. And this is what the lesson he wrote to me. He wrote sometimes out of love, you see. One letter has been my very guiding all through my life. He says, well, we saints come into the world. We have no easy life. He says, well, look here in the satsang, so many kind of people come out. Some come to praise, appreciate. They come to love and surrender. And others come only to find fault, to criticize. He says, if a bad man does not leave off his habit of his bad habits, why a good man leave his good habits? Well, this is all the thing I can give you, I think, if you keep up to it. God will help you. Whether I'm here or not, the God in me, with the Master's grace, will have it. The love knows no showing, you see. He feels at all. God gave me one or two. Sometimes He gave me a very big carpet, He gave something to wear me, He gave me also one overcoat. I'm keeping guests for worship, you see. Whom you love His things, mind that. I was thrilled when I went to came to know this is Master's place, I said, you know. Love and all things can be added. Have respect from heart, you see, it is no matter of joke. The more you live righteous life, true living, live up to what you are told to do, that eases the burden, my burden. You help me, that's all I can say on this matter.